This is John Costa with Rob Watson, and we're here for Spotlight on Art this week, and we're on the road. We're at the Adult Education Basement Gallery of a Monday evening open viewing of Doc Photo 8. I'm absolutely delighted. Fantastic turnout. It's very noisy, so this podcast may or may not work. So we've got a few people that we're going to talk to, make sure we catch up with them, see how they've been getting on. And the first person I'm going to speak to is Tom. So Tom, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, John?
Good, good. So thank you for agreeing to be part of the exhibition. Have you enjoyed it?
I absolutely enjoyed it. The turnout, it shocked me a little bit. Okay. It's not like I didn't expect this many people to come, but it feels real finally. You get so many weeks, say you've got this exhibition coming in a couple of weeks, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, okay. And you get here and it's like, wow, there's actual people here looking at my work.
Yeah. And as someone who's really interested in photography and you've really got into like film photography and that kind of stuff, and you've got your new photojournalism magazine here, Chizzit, fantastic. Does it make you think about what else that you could do when you look at other people's work and the feedback when you get from people, like, you know, I should be doing this, I could try that? There's more articles in your magazine, surely.
No, most definitely. Looking at some of the other people's exhibitions here, like the mixed media over there on the wall, someone's drawing alongside the photography and just goes hand in hand together. It's so interactive, and that's what I love. So definitely just talking about how I can next time, if you'd have me again for another Doc Photo 8.
Never.
Never.
Once only.
Thinking about having a physical item, like an old TV playing a loop of maybe like an old trailer for Chizzit or something, just thinking how I can sort of bring old and new together.
I think it's being able to create that almost like 5D element of it. It's great that Joe's got a table, you've got a table as well, but you're both on the same wall. It kind of gives it a bit of an edge.
Exactly.
And so it's really thinking about those, you know, what else could you do sort of audio wise, music wise, performance wise, and stuff like that. So anyway, congratulations. So now I'm going to bring in Marta, our returning photographer, the first of our four returning photographers. Marta, what's it like being back now?
Hello. It's really lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you for the trust.
Say hello again.
Hello. thank you for the trust. Thank you for bringing me back. It's been also challenging, as always. And then, yeah.
So how do you choose what to have on display?
I think my ladies from work, they really inspire me. They are mums, they are powerful women, they are strong.
And that's why you chose to have them on the exhibit?
Absolutely. I just want to show a woman power to be on the wall. And also I did a bit of collaboration with Kasia just to bring a bit of color around these pictures, because my pictures are black and white and it's a bit of color just around them, and I think they look fantastic.
And what do you like about Kasia's work?
Oh my God, I always push her.
I'm only putting you on the spot because she's sitting next to you and we're going to talk to her in a minute, you know what I mean?
Do you know what? I always push her. I always like kick her ass. I always try to her to show her work and how good she is, and I think that was the best decision.
Cool.
Definitely.
So Kasia, congratulations.
Hi everyone, thank you.
That's all right. Now listen, let's be honest, this is not the first time that you've painted a wall or put any of your imagery up. You did it at Starbucks, which I think is a very stressful thing to do in front of people sitting there drinking their coffee. And you've done it at lots of different locations and venues for people. But this is the first time that you've kind of had a public exhibition and obviously supporting Marta as well. Have you enjoyed it?
I did. And I think, like, even though I painted before, I painted in a public spaces, this one was the most challenging one because I knew I have to, like, it's not just me, but she relates on my work too. And this has to come together just to tell the story like she wants to say. And obviously, like, it was challenging in terms of the time. I was just stressing so much, oh my God, what if I'm not going to make that? How are we going to, like, just present that? But luckily, like, it just come, like, beautiful, and like obviously like we made it on time, and I'm really proud.
Okay, so are you looking forward to having your own work exhibited in September for the Doc Space exhibition?
I actually do. Like, I think I did really enjoy like this part, obviously, like meeting new people, like just bringing that community vibe into like this space. And yeah, I'm really looking forward. I've got an idea in my head, so it's like, yeah.
It looks real now, doesn't it? It feels real.
It feels real, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, listen, guys, thank you very much for agreeing to talk to me. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I'm joined by three more of our photographers, two returners and a newbie. Okay, so I'm going to talk to Paul first. So Paul, thanks very much for coming up again from London. Always a great commitment. I really enjoy having you here with your work. How different is your exhibition, what you put on this time, from the last one, would you say?
Well, it's really an advancement of my museum project, the Vortex Museum, Worlds of AI, my instant film, and then my Garden of Death photo series. So it's really, to be honest, it's just a part of the process. You feel like you're ending a journey, quote unquote, but it's just part of the process.
Okay, cool. So what's, how long does it take you to prepare for something like this? Because I know you go into a great level of detail. You showed me your wall planner when you came, and it was version 4. Yeah. So how has it changed since version 1?
You know what? I found it quite hard to let go of some projects I was doing before, and I thought, I want to put a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I thought, no, you want the newer stuff, especially if someone had maybe come before. I didn't want it to seem like that was all I'd been doing for the last year and a half.
Oh, more of the same.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to kind of show the photographic and sort of magazine side of my museum, which is sort of like a new area that I wanted to move into, and then show the kind of experimentation with AI. And also, I was a little worried with AI because I thought someone might come and get me because it's like not photography. And I was like, actually, this is photographic, even though it's not photography. And I thought, I can't find a leopard pig in the wild, so I have to create it with AI, don't I?
Well, the great thing about AI, let's be honest, is the fact that when you used to say, is photography art, there'd be this big fight in the room, and now you can just say that, and everyone's like, yeah, that's great, because it's not AI. And then everyone will pile on you and give you a kick in.
Well, exactly, and I've actually even written, I wrote a thing called my afterthoughts on it, where I've even talked about, I talked about plagiarism and all kinds of stuff. Could I be plagiarizing a leopard or a pig? I don't know, possibly.
Yeah.
But how do you get around that, and how do you create something where you think, I don't think that can't be, because it's all such a unique, and also bringing in storytelling and narrative, so it's not just this is an image or trying to trick anyone. No, this is a collaboration with something other. You're kind of talking to the other electronically, seeing what it gives you, seeing what you give it back, starting to tell a story. It takes you off in a tangent, just the same as when you make a mistake on Lightroom and you say, oh, that looks great. Hey, what's that? And then you start to go off on a tangent. And it's just like anything. It's a tool. It's how you use it. A hammer to build or a hammer to, hit someone in the head, It's the same tool, but very different things to use it with.
Brilliant. So let's bring Roberta in now. Roberta, another one of our returning photographers. So how different is your body of work this time from last time?
All right. I believe it's completely different because last time I was an architecture about Victoria building in Leicester. And now it's about documentary portrait. So it's more my type, even though for the future, I'm trying to think, because on my previous one, I did HDR photography compared with the oldest one. Like
the original
Talbot.
Photography, yeah, like an original
exactly.
Photo. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm trying to explore more about color time photography, like the Talbot one. So my next one is going to be like that, and I'm trying to do some workshop on color types photography and see how it works, because it's going to be massive job to do it, but it's going to be fun anyway. While now is because I want to be on the team like the other ones, and I believe documentary portrait is a word, is everything. So it's like how you capture the emotion, how you feel with the people, what you actually thinking before to take the picture. So it's the way you relate with other people, basically. And I believe I love the picture that I see today in the exhibition.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here, and I just want to thank you, John.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks great. Now, just going back to the first doc photo 8, where you had your architecture photographs you were talking about. Now you've just literally done your fifth architecture bike ride with Ride Leicester and stuff. Do people really like that combination of being done, doing on a cycle tour, but then taking around old buildings, about actually having someone to talk to them about it as well?
Yeah, it's been really good, because it's like go back in the history about the Victorian era. Obviously, some places are different, they look different, but they are still in place. So we are going to explore all the listed Grade 2 buildings. They are still in place, they are still there, and there is a heritage for the next generation that the council can decide just to demolish, or everyone else, because they need more flat or whatever. So it's nice to see that people want to see their cities go back.
Yeah.
I believe it's nice to me that I'm not British, I'm foreigner, and it's nice to see the history of this country, which I love it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Fantastic.
That's it.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming back again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
thank
then
you.
Finally, Jade. How are you, Jade? You okay?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. All the way up from Cardiff University.
Yeah, just come back.
Getting ready to graduate with your master's after your dissertation, obviously.
Yeah.
Cool. So listen, thanks for taking part. Really appreciate you taking the time to do it. Obviously, it's a big effort while you're doing your studies as well. So tell us a little bit about the photographs that you've got on display today.
So I've got like a few different series. So my main one, I think, is one that grabs most people's eyes, is my disability project. So in that, I've got Glenn, who he's missing an eye, and I think that's what grabs most people's attention. And then I've got a series where it's photographing strangers, which, as you were saying earlier, if you know me, that's a big deal, like going up to people and saying,
I couldn't believe it. Well, on Instagram, you said, I've been challenging myself to go out in the street and hold this board and say, like, would you like to have your portrait done? I was like, oh my God, what Jade is doing that? Good grief.
It was so scary, just in Cardiff, just like,
fantastic.
Hi. And then I've got two more. I've been doing sports photography recently, so I've got my bouldering stuff. And then most recently, with my dissertation, I've got my man versus horse photos.
Because you've got like an alternative sports magazine that you're working on as well, haven't you? Just tell us a little bit about that briefly.
Yeah, so it's just anything that's really weird. So I've been looking at bog snorkeling, gravy wrestling, which I've just been speaking to people about. It's just anything that's not mainstream, anything that's never going to be in the Olympics, I'm covering.
Excellent. Well, what I like, as soon as that went into the Doc Photo 8 WhatsApp group chat with all the photographers, the first person to respond was Paul Vernon. And I just knew that you'd know some kind of random sports. So.
You know why, John? Because I'm a gravy wrestling champion, double
aficionado.
Double champion, 500 days. Yeah. I won it in a cage, a Yorkshire pudding cage.
So yeah. Are you pleased that Jade is doing a magazine about this subject?
Yeah, because as soon as I hear those kinds of things, my brain goes choo, like into space, and I go, oh, I've got 20 links I need to send you, and I'm like, woof, woof, you know,
please
through cyberspace.
Please send them.
Yeah.
I just spoke to gravy wrestler Joel Hicks, who is the Guinness World Record holder for gravy wrestling.
What type of gravy? Is it bisto?
I don't know, but they said one year they used onion and they were just crying the whole time.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen, guys, thank you for taking the time to speak to me, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So let's catch up with the next two photographers that we've got here for the second Doc Photo 8 exhibition that's in the basement gallery of Adult Education, on for the next couple of weeks. And a new person that's joining us for this event is Joe. How are you doing, Joe?
Hello. Really good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
That's all right. Have you enjoyed the experience?
It's actually really, really nice. Yeah, I thought it was going to be nice, but the quality of work is actually really unbelievable, I think, from everyone. Everyone's got their own thing going on, but they're all doing it so sublimely. And I met a lot of nice... Come back a touch. Okay.
Yeah.
I've moved back a touch.
Yeah.
Just met some really, really nice nice group of people, nice bunch, lots of different, you know, lots of different people, different ideas. It's brilliant.
Now, what's interesting as the person who kind of, you know, organises these things is you've got your old experience photographers, and he won't make me say that when we talk to Tony in a minute, old experience photographers, and Lee to an extent as well. Lee Walker, when he was in the first exhibition, he'd not actually exhibited for 19 years. That was the first time he'd put his work up for 19 years, and here he is a year later doing more, you know. Through to people that have literally just started photography, or they're going through uni, or they're doing college, you know what I mean, or self-taught, like Marta went to college every Wednesday for 2 years part-time in the evening while working full-time. It's whatever your route to photography is, you can tell if someone's passionate, and sometimes I can talk to them and I'm like, you just need to see your work on the wall to believe that you're good enough, you know. And that's about when that guy said to me about, you know, I wasn't sure, I've never been to these events last time, I wasn't sure what to expect. So you're probably expecting something incredibly pretentious, all about the person that organized it, and then more about sort of let's get drunk and who do you know and let's swap cards and can you get me where I want to be, whereas actually what it's about is you being able to just be identified to people to come up and go, do you know what, mate, that's really good, I really like that, I may or may not pick up a camera myself. I mean, what kind of comments have you had from people?
I think the thing that I like to hear is, I mean, the way that I like to shoot is basically I'm just walking around and I'm just waiting for something to catch my eye. And sometimes, I'm usually that's a person. I mean, the one thing I love to photograph is people. People just, you know, going about their business. just something about the environment, you know, very much from a street photography angle. But sometimes it's less about the environment and more about the expression or sort of what they're doing. I mean, my favorite image of the eight that I've got on the wall, it was actually the first image that I took of hundreds from a holiday in Portugal. And literally we rocked up to the Airbnb. Obviously, what was the first thing you do? You open the door to the balcony, have a look off the balcony. And I just saw this image of this young girl with an umbrella, and it was golden hour and it was raining. And she was just singing. I could hear her before I opened the thing, singing, I'm singing in the rain, you know. And I opened the door and she's just there with her umbrella and her arms in the sky, surrounded really perfectly by her three adults, you know, mum or auntie or whoever it was. And I just thought, right, where's my camera? And it was just the most, you know, it was just there on a plate, you know what I mean? I live for those sort of images, and that's why I take my camera everywhere now, because it's horrible to miss one when you see something like that. Most of the other images there today are actually from the same week away, just walking around Porto, Lisbon, Coimbra, just getting some, just, you know, finding stuff that appeals to me.
So is your photography for you, and you're just taking this opportunity to show other people? Yes, you'd love the feedback, you know, it's nice to get a pat on the back, you know, it's nice to hear a nice comment, but ultimately it's still for you and it's very personal. You've not needed anyone's permission to kind of have a go. You're not trying to be anybody, you just want to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, so I mean, the stuff that's here tonight, this is the stuff that I'm passionate about, and it's the stuff that I do because I want to do it. It's my day off, so I'll go and do this kind of thing. In terms of photography, for the last year, I've been trying to get more into it as a kind of a side hustle as well. So doing events, which I really enjoy, and you know, weddings and whatever else, stuff like that sort of pays the bills. But then on my day off, this is the stuff that I try and create, which is more from my point of view, just trying to more like the art side of it, but I feel like I'm sort of honing that more and more as this time goes on. I mean, as I said to you earlier, it's been about a year that I've been taking it a bit more seriously, and this is my first ever time I've printed anything out.
First time you printed it and put it on a wall.
I got these done a few weeks ago, and I've had, you know, I hung them on my wall, and it was a really nice feeling seeing it up there, you know, quite big, you know, certainly bigger than it looks on my phone or on my laptop, you know. And it feels really good. Nice. Tony just showed me a photo he snapped. Originally, you know, the only reason I even had a camera, my biggest passion up until this point. My whole life has been music, and I bought the camera to facilitate that, so that I could make videos of myself doing music, and I can, you know, have a make content that way. And just the longer I had it and was using it, the more I found this real passion for it, and actually understanding how to use it. Because I think back in the day, you know, I might have been on some sort of automatic function, not really knowing what I was doing, and then actually learning the craft and knowing what I want in that situation, and really getting sort of nerding out a little bit, to be honest, on the kind of where camera works, and really like going down that avenue is what I've been doing for the last year. So it's really nice to actually have just a small body of work to put on a wall that I'm really proud of, and start the journey, isn't it?
Yeah, I love the fact that music's your gateway to it as well. So I mean, let's bring Tony in there. So Tony, I mean, you've been at this game now a long time.
40 years.
40 years.
40 years off and on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That qualifies as being an old sweat, doesn't it? Really?
I think it qualifies as just being a rambling old man. Really, I don't think there's anything more or less about it.
Yeah.
I think the one thing I learned very quickly is that if you want to be a street photographer and be out there, you've got to have a thick skin, and over the years I have been had a smack in the mouth occasionally, and I still wear protective glasses even to today, but you've just got to go there, you've got to have a vision, and you've got to stick to that, and you've got to follow your dream, really. You've got to follow your heart. In that time, I've done in the last 20 years of my life, I worked as a professional photographer for work, photographing images for a catalogue, and that completely destroyed my eye for the streets. So when I retired at the age of 60, I had to learn all over again, and it was great just going out, having the time. And back then, which was 13 years ago now, I was carrying cameras and film. I didn't have a digital camera, never had a digital smartphone. But of later years, especially since my cancer diagnosis, everything's just too heavy. So I just carry the iPhone and a small camera. And I've still got film cameras, but they're all at home for things I love doing, like still life. So they're all, and quite a bit of the winter I shall be at home doing still life. But it's the streets that still drag me out. I can't stop.
I just love the fact that you guys are like at the same level, because for you, this is the first time you've printed something out and you've seen it up on the wall and stuff like that. And then Tony's got all of this experience and this body of work. But then I love the fact that you'd been a catalogue photographer that period of time, and literally destroyed your photography your interest in it, because the passion had gone because it was work. And now you're back to, you know, doing what you in like today with the indecisive moment that you've got up on the wall.
Well, that's right. I mean, the indecisive moment was the antithesis to Cartier-Bresson's decisive moments, which personally I think was a bunch of crap, but that's just my view. These days I like experimenting. I like building cameras. I like using alternate film. Like in the next couple of weeks, I'm going out with a 1951 Brownie 127 with 35mm film in, so to see what effects it got. You know, I've never had any training, so sharpness doesn't bother me. If it's blur, it's blur, it doesn't matter. It's just what I tend to see.
Now, you mentioned your cancer diagnosis earlier, and I know we've had a conversation about these kind of things before, but, I mean, do you think your photography is better now? You're enjoying it more because of that, because you've got the time, and you've kind of like, actually, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, you know, immerse myself in it much more than I probably would have had time to do?
Well, it certainly focuses it when you know you've got one foot firmly in the grave. It certainly focuses you down that I want to do, like you and I have got projects planned for next year, so I just take every day at a time. And it was quite interesting, really, because when I was in hospital having my cancer removed, I asked the surgeon if he would photograph it for me because I wanted to see it. And he very kindly did. And so I'm having a 3D model made of it now, so I can actually look at.
And we're thinking of doing a cancer exhibition as well, aren't we, next
year? We are. So, but it's certainly, and to actually photograph in hospital as well, in waiting rooms, which I've been doing. I think Kathy told me, my wife told me, I think the first thing I asked for when I woke up from the operation was my camera. So I wanted to take pictures, you know, and it was just great. But yes, it's focused me. Yeah, it has, and it's medicine. Photography has gone from being a living, a hobby, to now it's medicine.
Yeah, and it's amazing how many people use photography like therapy as well, as a way of going out in the fresh air, as a way of, absolutely, you know, spending time on their own and stuff. And, you know, particularly film cameras, I think, you know, putting your smartphone down and actually doing something that needs two hands to do it. Like me.
Well, I think it's great, but it's certainly focused me. And I think, you know, ideally I want to go out when I'm holding a camera or something like that, but that's just humour. That's just old men's humour. Love doing to meet new photographers and new artists and photographers, to me, is great. And of course, you got to guys like, John, he's going to be going for, you know, the next 100 years or so. And, yeah, you know,
and, Joe, you are the future.
Yeah, you are the future. Whereas I'm just, as I say, rambling old man. So that's great. But no, it's great, John. And well done to you for getting all of us together.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, Shot by Joe, that sounds like a Netflix movie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Shot by Joe, that's a great name for a photographer. So let's bring in Albina. Albina, have you enjoyed this evening?
Yes, it was very busy and I was overwhelmed since the morning, but I'm happy, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Now,
Thank you.
And it's good to see your photographs with Carol's and her husband's as well, because, you know, obviously they've got their artwork and then you've got your photography alongside it. That was a nice way of being able to support Carol. Obviously, you know, it's devastating that she sadly passed away last week, but I think she would have been happy with how it looks tonight, do you think? I think she would have.
Yes. Yes, it was her dream to exhibit, and I was doing it for her birthday for her to see how people are coming and seeing her artwork. So I hope she can still see me from somewhere and see how it's really happening.
Yeah, hopefully she's not complaining about how I organise it. But so, listen, thanks very much for talking to us, Albina, Tony and Joe.
Thank you.